Farthouse.
Welcome to Farthouse, where we watch the oddsiest, fartsiest films so that you can pretend that you did. I am one of your hosts, Casey O'Brien, and I'm joined by my other host, my good little dude, Patrick Mallon. Patrick, how are you doing?
Case, I'm doing pretty good. Just got back from a weekend in Las Vegas.
Yes,
with Leah.
You saw Shania.
Saw Shania Twain, which is pretty extraordinary. Went to Golden Steer Steakhouse, had a tomahawk chop. It was so good. What else did I do? I did stuff like that. It's funny because, Casey, you should, I'm telling you how to do your job. You should drop in the last time. Can we introduce Iffy real quick so I can tell Iffy the...
Sure, sure. Well, I'm doing well because I'm so excited to have a great friend, a great man, a podcast professional. He is a TV writer for NBC's Grand Crew, which I love and have watched every episode. And his episode that he wrote just came out very recently and it was great. And he even played a podcaster in it for like 3 seconds. He's the host of Maximum Film. And now Iffy, are you... guys called the big team, or are you white women now?
The big team. We're formerly known as white women.
Formerly known as the white women, one of the best teams at UCB. Now the team is now the big team. Iffy Wadiway. Iffy, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing?
Oh, man.
What are you doing?
Good, good. I'm feeling good and truly a blast to not only do this pod, but to do this pod for this movie.
Yes.
Truly another movie that I probably wouldn't have even thought to check out, but it was 100% my shit.
Well, we brought you on for a very specific reason discuss this movie, which we'll get into, but... Patrick, were you saying something that you were going to share with all of us?
So, Iffy, have you been to Las Vegas? What are your impressions of Las Vegas?
When I'm winning money, I love it. All other times, it's, you
gamble. That's part of the appeal.
But I try and gamble in, you know, skill-based games, just because I like to, at least if I lose, I want to feel like, okay, I lost because I lost. That and craps.
That sounds more brutal to me. If I can blame myself, it sounds awful.
Well, craps is great because it's the mixture of both where, like, the way that we know chance works, specifically in craps, is you're just playing the numbers game, literally, and your money fluctuates so much before you can fully crash that you're well and drunk before you know they're coming by, you're feeling good, you're hooting and hollering, you're blowing on dice, even though it's a little, because I went last year and I was in the Venetian, which is...
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I do the Venetian because my dad, he said he still got some of the deals, but he goes and he's the one who taught me how to gamble. And
what was the first game he taught you how to play?
Oh, he's a slot man. So I left him immediately. He took me on my 21st birthday. We went to Pechanga and he was like,
Temecula?
Yes.
You did?
And he was like, I like to do the slots. And he's like, I do the penny slots because you lose little, but you can win big. And I sat there and I was like, no, this sucks. I'm out.
You know what else sucked? I saw Jethro Tull at Pechanga when I was like 17 years old.
Oh, man. Are you an LA native too?
No, I'm San Diego native.
Oh, okay. Yeah, close enough. Yeah, that's where we meet. That's our meeting ground, our neutral territory, our Sweden, Pechanga specifically.
Patrick lived in Los Angeles for a while, and he just moved to Austin.
Yeah, yes.
So he's mostly a West Coast guy up until recently.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
But the reason that I bring up Las Vegas is because a few months ago, I went to Las Vegas with Casey and I's friend. And it was a disaster on a lot of different accounts, mostly because we were driving and my, like, not brand new, but brand new to me. It's a Toyota Camry 2012 hybrid. And me and Casey's friend Sean, for years, have been saying this is the best car ever. You got to get this car. He'd send me YouTube videos on it and everything. And I was finally like, all right, fuck it. I don't care what car I get. I'll get this car that you say is good. And then
a little backstory on I took him to, we were on the podcast Judge John Hodgman together because Sean was smuggling hot dogs into Dodger Stadium.
Oh, so that's that guy. Okay.
I also held a holiday party at the Cos Plus World Market in El Segundo, which does actually have a real bar.
Yeah, he's a wild man. But anyways, continue, Patrick, with your disaster.
Went to Vegas. And it's just... It was awful, and I got back and was just venting to Casey about how I'll never, ever go back or something like that. And then...
And here you are, a few months later.
Yeah, like 6 or 7 months later, I'm back and had such a fantastic weekend.
Oh, that's good. It's renewed your sense of love
I can't wait to get back.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic.
So,
anyways,
so you recently drove to Las Vegas.
In May, I drove, yeah.
And then his car broke down.
No, from L.A. at this time. So in May, I drove from L.A., and the car broke down. It was like vomiting coolant. Damn. And ended up having to rent a car to drive back to LA and then drop the rental car off the next weekend to pick up my car because it was in the shop and I had to work the whole week.
So. It was a disaster. Was he scratched the entire side of the van when he came and visited me on in my parking garage. Yeah, that was a really disaster. Oh.
Tweaked his neck going down the water slide at the Golden Nugget and had to get a massage.
Yeah, no, I... I ran through bad cars because my dad would be cheap and he'd be like, here's the car, use it as long as you don't drive it too hard, which in retrospect, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Why does one have to be gentle with the car? Like, I got blamed so much for these cars overheating and stuff. It's like, oh, it must be the way you're driving. I was like, no, these were just trash cars. You should be able to accelerate, decelerate, brake at any consistency and speed without your car exploding.
Yeah.
What could he possibly think that you're doing that was causing
Because I notoriously drive fast. So in his head was me driving fast was being too hard on the car and not the car piece of shit that couldn't accelerate like it's supposed to. But a lot of times it would overheat. That was a common problem across a lot of these cars. And that smell, that coolant smell, I just get immediate flashbacks the moment I smell it. And so like, even when you're on the street and another car has that problem, I start freaking out. And now it's even weird that
it's
I
like
freak
nom
out.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, because I have an electric car, so I don't have a radiator like that, so I wouldn't have that happen. But I still am like, oh no, it's happening again.
That's very modest of you to say you have an electric car, Iffy, because you have a Tesla. Just say it. You have a Tesla.
I have an electric EV vehicle. I have an EV.
God. Patrick, do we have any patrons to shout out on our show from our Patreon today?
Incidentally, one of our patrons this week is our friend... Who hurt his neck going down the water slide at the Golden Nugget. And is a patron of the Farts. He listens from LA, California, and his favorite art house movie is The Life Aquatic.
Ooh.
Oh, very good. And we are to assign a Fartsy score. Is that correct, Patrick?
Yes, that's correct.
I'm gonna give that a 6.
Yeah, I was gonna say 5.7.
5.7. Yeah, that's good. It's not that artsy fartsy, but it plays at the art house. Cinema.
I feel it is like your like artsy starter pack. Like when you're ready to go in, like that, you know, and there was what is it? Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Yeah,
like
Eternal Sunshine. Absolutely.
Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. And maybe like Rubber. Mostly because that's Rubber, that's my deep cut pick that I always try and pull out of my
That's
ass.
Fantastic. Yeah, if you show Rubber to most people, they'll be like, what the fuck did you just show?
I was laughing so hard. There is a war between Gen Z and millennials and Gen Xers right now, because some like movie TikTok guy was like, here's a movie that's been slept on, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. This guy cuts
I've
it
seen
up.
This
you,
too.
You saw me cut up. He was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
didn't it
was,
win Best Original Screenplay?
Yeah, I felt that. I was like, yeah, no, Oscars. this is Gen Z discovering shit that has already been like run through the mud. I had the same reaction, but I saw the of comments and people were like, the Gen Z was like, a lot of people haven't seen. I was like, trust me, just take your first film class. I promise. That's how I saw it. I took at Long Beach City College. I took the film 101 and that was the first movie they made me see.
That is like an entire generation's favorite film. Yeah. I don't think you can say like, there was like a TikTok that was like, a lot of people have never heard of this little movie called Eternal Sunshine. It's like,
remember when MySpace was a thing, if a girl had like Donnie Darko as one of her favorite movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was like the hottest thing.
Because you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's obscure. That's dark.
She's in a Donnie Darko.
Patrick, so we have one more.
Yeah, we got one
patron.
More. And
this is an international one.
Yeah, international. Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly. It's Evan Storlin.
Yes.
And Evan is originally from Oslo, which he parenthetically described the Minnesota of Europe, which I thought was great.
I'm Norwegian, and there's a lot of Norwegians in Minnesota, so that's correct.
Yes.
So that's wonderful. An international listener. How exciting. From Norway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, now he's from Norway, but now he lives in Berlin. So that's where he's
fantastic.
Been listening from. And his favorite art house movie is Yi Yi.
I'm so ashamed. I haven't seen this movie, but I've seen the cover in Criterion. It looks phenomenal. We'll need to do it.
Yeah,
so,
we should do it.
I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm going to give it an 8.4. Have you seen Yi Yi, Iffy?
I have not, but I'm going to, based
put
on,
it on the list.
The reaction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on
so
the reaction.
So those are our patrons of the farts.
Yes. So fantastic. Thank you, patrons. And if you want to become a patron of the farts, go to patreon.com/farthousepod. If you're listening to this, the episode, our bonus episode where we talked about Wild Things came out already. Right? Is that correct? Yes.
Yes, because so it comes out. Yeah.
Yes. So if you want to become a patron of the farts, you can hear our bonus episode where we talk about Wild Things and Denise Richards making out with Neve Campbell, and it's fun.
The Wild Things episode we did was particularly...
It was great.
It was really fun.
Have you seen Wild Things?
I have also not seen that. Hold on. Let me.
You got it. I'm surprised you haven't seen Wild Things.
Okay,
it's a very horny movie.
So Casey very generously gave me a heads up. However, not so generously didn't give me a heads up in enough time.
I still give you a heads up, though.
You did. Yes. Yes. Which is why I said very generously. Casey said you should watch the uncut version. And I didn't have enough time.
There's just more nudity and more sex.
So
scenes.
I started torrenting the uncut version. Didn't have enough time. But I now have the uncut version with additional boobage. If you would like me to zip that and send it to you.
Okay.
I'll send that over. Yeah, jack that into the system. Let's go.
Submit a ticket and one of our associates will be right on it.
yeah, exactly. Okay. So, something else we do at the beginning of our episodes is a Letterboxd rundown of the week of if we've watched any movies we want to highlight from the week. You can join us if you like. If you didn't watch anything that you really want to talk about, don't worry, but we're going to do this real quick. And
yeah,
if you have any you want to highlight, jump on in. But Patrick, why don't you go first? How was your week? Did you watch many movies?
Just one. I watched Red Rocket, Sean Baker's
Ooh.
New movie.
Oh.
Which I thought
think?
Was very good. I really liked it quite a bit. It started out like the first 15-20 minutes. It felt like a very like entry level, like film school amateurish effort. But then like,
yes,
everything settled into place and I thought it was a very good movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Just that. Red Rocket. Yeah. I started Basic Instinct, but fell asleep. So I'll probably be finishing that tomorrow night. So I watched four and a half movies. I saw Shania Twain in concert though, so that counts.
Shania Twain, she's a cinematic experience, I would say. That could be logged into Letterboxd probably.
And actually I watched 50 First Dates in the hotel room. So it was on TV.
That's great.
So 50 First Dates and Red Rocket.
what a back to back and double feature.
what about you, Case?
I watched two movies. One, the 1955 Douglas Sirk film, All That Heaven Allows, which was very erotic,
love
I would
that
say.
Movie.
Rock Hudson looking very hot. I loved it. It was fantastic. And I think it just got a re-release on Criterion.
It did, yeah. Douglas Sirk is a genius.
Unbelievable. Looks great. And then I went to the theaters... And I watched Licorice Pizza.
Oh, yes. You watched it in theaters. Was this your first watch or was this another watch?
It was my first watch. I hadn't seen it yet.
What did you say?
Have you seen it, Iffy?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I liked it. My family hated it.
They hated it?
Yeah, Brady didn't like it, I saw.
Why did they hate it?
My dad was like, every great director... This is my dad's review. He was like, every great director, once they become successful enough, makes a boring movie about their childhood, and it's never their best movie. And I was kind of like, it's hard to argue with that.
No matter how I feel about the movie, your dad didn't say a single incorrect thing.
Right, yeah.
I think they thought it was just boring, but I just was like, I can see it is like it's a summer movie where it's just kind of meandering in my opinion, in a good way. But it was fun. I just felt it made me excited to live in Los Angeles. It made me excited for the summer.
It made me miss LA quite a bit.
Funny enough, that's kind of my big hang up on the movie.
Yeah.
Ooh. Is like as an LA native, I'm just tired of movies in LA with no black people in it, or they're like in the background.
I hear you.
Because I'm like, all right, now it's like, and I get it. That version of LA was his LA, and that version of LA is not going to have us in it. Like, not even in the sense that he's keeping us out. We ain't going to be doing that white shit. Like, that is like, are you selling mattresses? No, I'm going home and playing SNES. What the fuck you talking about? My mom going to beat my ass if she catch me in here having this groovy party shit you got going on. Like, so I get it. I'm like, you know, you right. There's going to be one black guy who's going to come and report the rest of what happened to the hood. He's like, I was in there, and they were selling mattresses. They give you any money? No, it was weird. The white man got us again.
That was one thing I was like, how did this child keep opening stores in Los Angeles? That was something that I had a question about.
This in a thing you're probably going to cut out because it doesn't matter to no one outside of LA, but it's snowing in Pasadena right now. So, you know, I'm about to whip it after this.
Is it literally snowing in Pasadena right now?
Yeah. Hold on.
It's been really hot in LA.
It's been cold because I knew it was going to be snowing in Big Bear because I was in Lake Arrowhead this weekend, and they were like, oh, it's going to snow. And I was like, okay, bet. Then I'm going to come back up because now I'm a snowboarder guy now. I'm all in.
Oh, you're a snowboarder guy now. Really?
You heard of Sean White? I'm about to be Sean White.
That's awesome that you started snowboarding. I was used to be a skier.
Really?
At one time, but I haven't gone skiing in a long time.
Wow. Skiing is for the bourgeois. Snowboarding is for the people.
Yeah. That's all marketing, man. You know, it's you're still just on pieces of plastic going down
the
hill.
Yeah, the lift tickets cost all the same.
Yeah.
Although it would be funny if the lift ticket for snowboards
for
is cheaper
snowboarding
than the lift ticket
was,
for skis.
Very good. But that was all the movies I saw. Iffy, did you see any movies this week that you want to highlight other than the one we're talking about today?
I mean, you know, this was the highlight movie of my week because
great.
I've been trying to catch up. This is once again dork mode. I've been trying to catch up on anime I'm real behind on, and so I haven't had a chance to really dive into some movies, but you know, over on Max Film, we've been watching a lot of Sidney Poitier.
I saw you just had the director of King Richard on.
Yeah,
that was
real
pretty
dope.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
That was cool. So I'm probably gonna keep that deep dive going of trying to like get some classics under my belt. Like, you know, I went to see Rashomon. I'm trying to catch up, you know, but might have to throw Yi Yi in.
What anime have you been watching? I'm just curious. We've got some
Demon
anime
Slayer.
Fans.
I've been watching Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen, and what's it? And of course, Attack on Titan.
I heard that Hulu has a pretty spectacular anime catalog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they're pretty solid. I mean, that is where I'm watching Attack on Titan because their Hulu has the new episodes. It's actually not even on Crunchyroll yet, which is
long has that been running, that particular anime?
That one's been running for the past couple of years. They've had a break to do this final season because
So it has an end point already.
Oh yeah. So lots of times with anime, it'll be based off of a manga, which is like the Japanese comic book. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you'll get, if you ever hear people talk about filler, it's lots of times they'll have to buffer the animation because the animation house is going faster and catching up to the written material. So, so they have to do like these episodes of like Goku goes to the DMV to get an ID. like a very real episode of Dragon Ball Z that happened because they needed to buffer.
I feel like Dragon Ball Z also has these fight sequences where no one's doing anything and two people are just floating above the ground staring at each other, and one of them's kind of going like,
oh yeah, they
for like 15 minutes.
They
so.
Really leaned into that. It truly felt like they were like, all right, we y'all going too fast. Can we charge up a little bit more?
Casey, did you tell Iffy when Dragon Ball Z destroyed your grades and your parents were furious?
Wait, what?
Well, this isn't that interesting of a story, but when I was in seventh grade, I got really into Toonami on Cartoon Network and was watching Gundam Wing, Dragon Ball Z. I can't remember what else is on there, but my grades plummeted because I was just watching too much television.
Yeah.
And that was a hard time for me and my family. I mean, we got through it. And
yeah, I kind of had the same kind of deal where that's my PlayStation got taken away because I was playing it too much. But now
it got taken away.
Yeah, yeah, they got taken away. In retrospect, I feel like they either did it to punish us or because they're like, man, let's get a couple extra bucks off these kids because they it had to be pawned. Because I remember, like, you know, when
wait, so you never got it back after they took it away?
No, after everything rebound, we were like, hey, so where is it? And they're like, oh, I don't know, I think I lost it. No,
oh my god,
they did buy us a PS2, so you know, they then. But this was way after, and I had to like do a whole thing about a whole thing where I essentially made a contract to my dad that if he catches me not doing my homework, he can show me the contract. And I remember I was telling someone that, and then I laughed at being like, did I really write a contract giving my parents permission to parent me? I was like, with this contract, I will have to listen to you.
I think you found a loophole in the parent-child relationship.
They didn't sign anything. You don't have to do anything, they say. Make Naomi sign a contract. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what the first
get it in writing,
doing when we get home.
Get it in writing.
Yeah.
You sign this contract.
All right. Let's move on to the movie. So, like we said, this is Fart House. We watch the artsiest, fartiest film so that you can pretend that you did, which is why we're talking about Short Bus. Today, we will discuss Short Bus and subject it to our proprietary fartsy test, which determines how impenetrable this movie really is. And it's our final month of Art House Erotica Month, or our final week of Art House Erotica Month, which is why we're talking about this movie. And also, the reason we have Iffy on, because Iffy is like the horniest guy on the internet, and we needed to get him on to talk about this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You're a self-described thought dad.
Yep.
That hoe over there, dad.
Is that what thought means? I didn't even know.
That hoe over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had to get your expert opinion in here, Iffy. So I'm so glad you were able to do this episode. But so we always start the convo out by asking, because Patrick has like a million DVDs and Blu-rays, and a lot of which he's actually never watched. So, Patrick, do you own this movie? And secondary question, have you seen it before?
This one I do not own, and I had not seen it prior to this viewing.
Very good. Iffy, had you seen anything by John Cameron Mitchell, this director? Had you seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
I have not, but I did hear about it. So I was well aware of it when I was going through it. Yeah.
I've also heard of Hedwig, but I've not watched it.
You own Hedwig?
No. I've heard of it, but I have not watched it.
It's a very popular stage play, too. I feel like you see it. I feel like colleges always do it now, too. Mm. So you can see a bad version of it at some local liberal arts college if you want. I don't own that many DVDs. I own this movie. And I was obsessed with this movie in college when it came out, because it came out in 2006. What's your horrified face, Patrick?
I guess I'm giving away the game, but you were obsessed with this movie?
Yes, I loved this movie. I loved this movie in college. Patrick, you're pissing me off already. I can tell I'm getting mad.
Well, it's so interesting.
I love
because
I love this movie and I loved Hedwig. Because
I feel like I feel like that means you must be you kind of a freak, Casey. You kind of a freak. I want to clarify because you know some people are like you're a freak. I'm talking about you know I'm like Casey probably you know opening up the Kama Sutra, finding some new moves to pull out in bed. Definitely type. And it always is the shy, quiet ones. You know, they're the ones who are choking you for some reason, and you're I didn't know.
One time on Max Film, Iffy made a joke. A horny joke, and I think I shook my head. And Iffy took umbrage to that, and he was like, "Casey's as horny as I am. That's the dirty secret." So,
yeah, you were exposed. I did blow the whistle on that.
Yeah, And
Casey, you take maca powder just like the rest of us.
I drink what?
Maca powder for virility.
Is that a Joe Rogan thing? I've never heard of
it.
I
don't know what it is. I've heard people reference it as something for virility.
All I take are a couple of Extends every morning with my vitamins. But yeah, I really liked this movie. I thought it was so creative. And it's a little rough around the edges, I suppose. And so is Hedwig. And I was very into movies that were not polished. Kind of like this movie.
Yeah, this one
in college.
Was really like that gritty style. But it's interesting because it's so funny to see how far we've come in the sense of indie movies. Mm-hmm. Because also that movie we watched on Max Film, the Thanksgiving one, that was, you remember, it was like the Thanksgiving and they're trying to make the turkey.
So Day Trippers?
Pieces of April?
Pieces of April. That movie looks... And I, you know, just comparative to now, before I say this, so bad. Like, you know,
I think that's shot on like a mini DV digital camera.
And, you know, that movie was the shit when it came out.
Yeah. I've never seen that in theaters.
Yeah. Versus now you watch Sundance and their indies are like After Yang. And like, even like After Yang is kind of unfair because they had like, you know, the finance for it. But like, even like Cha Cha Real Smooth, which I'm like, that's another solid one.
Well, even like Steven Soderbergh movies recently, like High Flying Bird or what's that other one? Let Them All Talk. He shot on an iPhone and they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Like they don't look as bad as Pieces of April.
And do we think that it's because the iPhone, or do we think it's the editing? What do we think, Casey?
I honestly think it's just camera technology, because even like non-iPhone digital cameras like the Red or you know, any of those are like so much more available to people. And yeah, you can rent those for like not that much money.
I mean,
and shoot, or like even the camera
that's what
you're
I was
using
say. You're,
on.
You're talking to the guy who's using that Canon C100 as a webcam, a film grade camera.
I've used that to shoot commercials before. Yeah. C300s and C100s, and those are really nice. And like, you can rent those not that expensive now. I think a Short Bus was shot on 16mm, I believe. Ooh. So it's like a lower grade film. Let me just do a quick synopsis here so everyone knows what we're talking about. This movie takes place in New York City, which is kind of another character, if you'd say. It concentrates on a few different stories all happening at once. Sophia Lin, played by Suk-Yin Lee, is a couples counselor / sex therapist who is pre-orgasmic, which is what she says because she can't have an orgasm.
Did
never
you know
had
what
an
that
orgasm.
Meant when she had stated as such?
No, but she made a joke. She explained it.
Yeah, I didn't know what it meant until she...
Okay. Yeah, I thought... I don't think it's a real term. She needed to bust.
Yeah, right, like she's on the precipice of orgasm at all times.
Well, we all are in some way, I guess, if we're all pre...
That's true.
We could be near it. Then there's another couple. There's a couple named Jamie and James. Jamie, played by P.G. DuBois, and his boyfriend, James... who is a former sex worker / video artist. They're having relationships problems, mostly stemming from James's severe depression. James is making a film during the whole movie, but for what purpose? Sophia enlists dominatrix Severin to help her learn how to orgasm. How do all these stories intertwine? Well, they all meet at a weekly social, artistic, sexual salon known as the Short Bus. And that's basically what... Patrick. Did you hate this movie, Patrick?
I hated this movie.
You hated it?
I knew you were going to fucking hate this movie.
Okay,
because you
on.
Don't like musicals and you don't like theater kids. And this movie sort of feels like a theater kid run amok in a movie.
There was ukuleles. There was white people with dreads. There was like
there were a few white people with dreads. That is true.
Yep, inarguable. Once again, salient points being made and
also,
held down.
This is maybe the world's worst therapist.
Yeah,
she slaps
really,
one of her clients.
It's funny.
She goes.
She slaps two of her.
Two of her clients. She goes to a sex club with them. Another one, she starts like pathologizing outside of a deprivation tank, and she was awful. Like, and she.
I mean, the whole premise of this movie breaks, you know, just one of the strongest tenets of being someone's therapist. Like, my therapist won't even add me on social media. They're like, I'm gonna come to the sex party with y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I ran into my therapist one time at Einstein Brothers Bagels, and he looked at me like I was a fucking alien. And like, we talked about it in session. He's like, well, I just didn't want anyone to know that we have this relationship outside. I was like, well, yeah, it made me feel worse because I was like, do you hate me? And it's like awful.
Yeah.
Whereas
she's
like fucking her. It's like,
maybe that he did that for job security. Like, maybe if I freak him the fuck out.
He'll be coming back for years.
Yeah.
If I give him a new complex.
Oh, God. But you know what? We don't know if she was still
also,
their therapist
she was divulging,
after they went to the sex party with them.
Also, to her husband, Rob, who is also a douchebag, she's telling him about her patient's issues, which is fine, but uses their real names. She's like, Brad and Cheryl, do you want to know what their problems are? And it's like,
okay, well, she has issues of her own.
Here's where we're going to go ahead to. Do you think your therapist is using a code name to talk about you with their partner?
I think he's not using my name. And
so,
if he's talking about me at all, because it would be so
P.
banal. They're like, oh, there's this guy. He won't shut the fuck up about what's going on at work.
We'll call him P. just as a code. No way. Well, the chances of you bumping into his wife, you know, there's no way. There's no way. They're
right,
using your name.
I suppose you're right there.
They're probably pulling up the Instagram to see to put a face.
Look at this
to
loser.
A story.
Wait. You got to get a load of this guy. He looks ridiculous.
I mean, you gotta put a face to a name here. It really brings the whole story together.
It doesn't make sense unless.
Oh.
What did you think of the movie? Did you hate it?
Oh, I loved it. You know, of course I did. Because
you loved it, Iffy?
Oh, I loved it.
I was so hoping you'd be on my side.
Remember, I'm the guy who's trying to find that French film where the dude pulls the bloody tampon out of her vagina to finger her, and we couldn't find it. And I keep bringing it up to you and Alonzo, and y'all keep coming up short.
I don't know what movie that is.
Yeah,
it
no
sounds
one,
familiar.
You know, Patrick, we can get our foreheads on that.
Have we Googled bloody tampon French movie?
Yeah, like it always like. It was
there's
when
too
was,
many hits that come up for that,
exactly.
So it's hard to. That's
the things
problem
that you don't
too,
want to watch.
Yeah, but like, yeah, you see some insertion there, and you see his bloody dick, and I was like, damn, that's crazy. When are you ever going to see insertion in film? Smash cut
it sounds
to me this morning at 8 p.m. in the office at work with my fucking my Bluetooth headset in, just like, wow. I'm glad I chose to watch this in my office and not like just out in the writer's room and be like, what the fuck is Iffy watching? We gotta call.
Oh my God.
Can we
HR.
Talk about the first 5 minutes of the movie with James in the bathtub and then what he proceeds to do once he is out of the bathtub?
So you see James, who's going through a very hard time and he's making sort of art film. We see him pee in the bathtub, which he needs to drink some water with some dehydrated
yellow,
piss,
yeah.
Which is very, yes. And then we see him suck his own dick and jerk off into his mouth. And I don't think I've seen that in cinema.
No, he
before.
Came into his own mouth.
Yeah. That was just to sort of tell you what was happening in the rest
of the
movie.
I finally found it. It was Anatomy of Hell. And you're right. All I
Anatomy
had to do
of hell.
All I had to do was search French tampon movie. and it came up.
Pretty sure Anatomy of Hell is in my Letterbox watch list.
All these years I've been searching for it, and I didn't even know. I just had to put.
This is Catherine Brûlé. She's a very famous.
Oh,
French
yes, this is on our
director.
List, Casey. This is on
it is. We were thinking about talking about this, Iffy.
Oh, wow.
That's so
all
funny.
All right, well, next year we'll have to do this one, and Iffy, you'll have
yes,
to come
we'll
back.
Yes, we'll put that on that for our erotica month next year. Yeah, my mother-in-law just sent pictures of Orange County. She's in Fullerton. Snow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never seen that in the whole time I've lived here.
Wow. Yeah, no, that is
in 15 years.
That is some new developments. That's wild. Maybe we should have liked Don't Look Up.
Maybe we should have liked Don't Look Up yeah. is exactly right. If I haven't watched it.
This
have you watched it,
Adam
Iffy?
Yeah, I watched it. It's very heavy-handed, and it's like not the world. My favorite part of the movie could have been the last probably 15 minutes. Honestly,
I'm going to watch it.
Honestly,
I will.
You watch it and you'll see from the moment that it's imminent is where the movie should have started. Like all
I
the,
see.
It gets very like the most preachy and heavy handed stuff is all the like the, when it's like, you know, impending and they're trying to convince people to worry. And then it's like, okay, we get it. We get what you're doing. We get in.
Yes.
And like, also like tonally, it's like all over the place because like the Meryl Streep stuff, while funny, is just so farcical. But
yeah.
then you have other characters reacting in a like grounded way while also being like hype. It's yeah. I'm curious to see what you'll think.
Have you seen it, Patrick?
Mm-mm. I don't have much interest.
I don't either, but I want to watch.
Yeah, this is a guy who.
I mean, was
is,
it nominated for Best Picture?
It was.
Then we will have to watch it for our Oscars episode.
We will have to. We must. Okay, so Iffy, I think we were talking about this before, but what did you like about this movie that we watched that Patrick hates so very much?
Oh man, upon first watch, you're like, wow, this is wild and raunchy, and that's what you like about it. But then when you really kind of digest it, it is such a raunchy movie with heart that made me like to have a movie have this much heart, but be this kind of like explicit is funny. And then also it was reading the thoughts behind it that got me to really appreciate it.
You mean like contextually, like outside of the film?
Yeah. Like there were a few quotes from John Cameron Mitchell that I kind of read on the Wikipedia, and I was like reading about the production because I said off the air, I was like so curious because a lot of these people in the film, you never really see them do much. And it's kind of makes you wonder if they got, you know, they got like oddly blackballed, but then you're thinking about it. This is like the year I graduated high school, 2006.
Me
and,
too.
Oh, you know, suits? And it has like a lot of like very queer undertones, and that alone back then was enough to just make it harder for you in Hollywood. So
yeah,
I think that it was just the 1-2 punch. But I remember when I heard PJ DuBois and kind of like, I was like, where do I know him from? And I had an obsession with the show Queer as Folk when I was in high school because, my best friend was gay and he like loved the show. And so, you know, I would watch it too, to like have stuff to talk about. And yeah. And so I remember PJ from the show, but I don't.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize he was on that show.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Like here's one quote from John Cameron Mitchell. He wanted to employ sex in a new cinematic ways because it's too interesting to leave to porn. And I know he wanted to like make a fun hardcore movie. Cause so many of these like movies we've talked about on Art House Erotica Month are like, if they have like non-simulated sex, they are not fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like they're very sad and dour and like brutal. And so I did enjoy having one that was like fun and silly. And yeah. So I thought that was like, that's why I liked the movie. Because I was doing interesting things.
Our discussion of this is kind of timely because my girlfriend Leah sent me this article about the sex scene is dead in The New Yorker. Did you guys see this?
Oh,
this article?
No.
Yeah. And it's
and
really
I agree.
Good. And they interview, or they reference interviews with Paul Verhoeven and Benedetta, and they explicitly reference, there was an interview that John Karen Mitchell did recently, I think in late July, where
there's a new short, like Short Bus is coming back to theaters or something.
Oh,
soon.
Really?
At Alamo Drafthouse, yeah, they're screening it. It was all very timely. We're just very in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, we're
in
the zeitgeist podcast. We're a zeitcast.
Yes. Exactly.
He recently decried that there is a quote certain sex panic in the air, and Steven and Luce sent us that quote from Steven Soderbergh, where he seems to be mourning the lack of any sort of sexuality in cinema lately. It's just this. It's sexless, and it's not quite aromantic, but it's just like there's
nothing being left to those damn kids on Euphoria.
Yeah,
there is like an element, because I remember years ago, even outside of media itself, they were talking about how the younger generation isn't as obsessed with sex as we were, and I think that's just going to be the natural ebbs and flows of sex in our society, because as it's we're all around the same age, and we came right after the satanic panic with D&D and all that stuff. So you had hugely oppressed group of teens like us, and we also had this this lack of sex positivity, so it made it more exciting and interesting to us. And it's kind of like that thing, when you had that friend whose dad let them smoke weed so they didn't care about smoking weed. Like, it seems ridiculous, but it's true. Like, when you take the allure and mystery out of it, it's just another thing you can do.
Yeah, it's like the destigmatization has almost had like an adverse effect on the erotic in a way, because you like destigmatize sex and sex positive, or you make sex positivity part of the norm, which I think these are all good things, but then it definitely kind of erodes the sort of quote-unquote hot element.
Well, yes, because, and I think a lot of the sex stuff that we've had in media is so vanilla, and the quote that I kind of am going to use to trampoline into my kind of general thoughts about the sex in this movie specifically, and just kind of like touch on some of the sex that you talked about, even though I didn't see the films, I just based on what you said, I have a general idea. But Mitchell, he is quoted to say, in the old days when you couldn't show sex on film, directors like Hitchcock had metaphors for sex, trains going to tunnels, etc. When you can show more realistic sex, the sex itself can be a metaphor for other parts of the character's lives. The way people express themselves sexually can tell you a lot about who they are. Some people ask me, couldn't you have told the same story without the explicitness? They don't ask whether I could have done Hedwig without the songs. Why not be allowed to use every paint in the paint box? And kind of reading that quote, and I've seen the beginning opening sex scene a few times, because first I saw it and I was like, oh, then I had to show Molly. I showed Molly, and she just was looking away.
What were her impressions?
And, the moment someone came into their own mouth. She was so reeling.
Casey, would Trisha be impressed if he could do that, or would she be put off?
I'm very inflexible. I've been actually trying to learn how to sit cross-legged on the ground because I can't do
Wait,
that.
You can't,
so
you can't sit.
I can't sit cross-legged on the ground. Can't sit crisscross applesauce. I cannot.
Could you when
Never
you were a kid, at least?
Even when I was a kid, I would sit with my feet in front of me, my arms behind me.
That's traumatic.
And the kids would be like, "Bring your legs in." And I was like, "I can't."
And you, and you couldn't do it?
I couldn't do it.
I'm sorry. That's awful.
Yeah. So even you asking if I could do something flexible is very triggering for me. Okay, so no, sorry. I don't think I could. But your question, I think Trisha would love it if I could do that. No, I don't know.
What partner? What would Molly think if you could do that?
Oh, she would hate it. She would try and push me over and make me stop.
Like, no.
Yep. Stop. She would spray me with water like a
dog.
A cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Stop.
You have friends over, and if he's like, look what I can do.
But yeah, like going back and watching it kind of after reading that quote, that sexy means so much more, because you have this sexually frustrated couple, this therapist who has never had an orgasm, and they're doing the most like adventurous, you know, thing. Like you can see the attempt at, like, you know, her trying to get, and then also watching her facial expressions, it was kind of impressive to see that she was actually acting to portray her feeling. Like there was this, there's a moment, I think, at like right before it cuts away, she kind of has this like kind of face, like almost as if like, it's not working. It's not, like to have that layer of acting on top of it, the voyeurism, you know, from the weirdo neighbor who's just kind of like watching this person kind of like struggle in the same way that you'll see them watch this person struggle mentally. And then this, you know, this dominatrix who seems to have an identity crisis, and you can kind of tell in the way that she's triggered in the personal questions that he asks her. So, you know, all of that, you know, the scene that could be like kind of waved off as this like very like, you know, gimmicky scene actually plays a big part and tells a story before we even get into the story. So seeing that, knowing that, it made the movie as itself way more impressive, almost as impressive as the lead actress fucking her best friend and saying that her boyfriend was cool with it.
That was something that the actress Sookyun Lee was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend was totally supportive of me having sex with the guy in the movie
in real life.
Yeah, she was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend was fine with it. So, well, Iffy, I guess I want to ask you: would you ever be in a movie where you had to do non-simulated sex in the movie like this? Would you ever do that?
I mean, after seeing this. It would have to be, I feel like you have to have like some,
it would have
burn
to be the Grand Crew Christmas special.
Yeah, Grand Crew Christmas special, live on NBC. I feel like you need to have the means to keep the ball rolling, because I could be like, oh man, but then you got to remember that you had, why am I forgetting his name, right? As I was saying it, Honey Boy.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. He was in, you know, Nymphomaniac, and you know, he was, you know, you got to see his hog in that, and but you know, you didn't have non-simulated sex. But I also think the industry is a little more like, I feel like kind of watching this film, it felt like it was ahead of its time, and it's because I feel like if this came out now, TikTok would be going wild over it. As a matter of fact, one of us should post a TikTok and let the kids know, and I promise you it's gonna
be a lot
of
people aren't talking about this movie, Short Bus.
But is Short Bus accessible though to people right now? Like, how
it's
can
not
they...
it's not streaming on any, it's not available on streaming.
I don't know how. You'd have to put it on, like, we really have to go talk to the, you know, webmaster at kink.com and and have, like, you know, that, but
get his email address.
But you know, I have some other thoughts I'll tell you off air about like accessibility, fun possible things in the future. But but like, yeah, this it really is like, this is kind of sexually where we're at now. Like, I can see why in 2006.
As a culture?
Yeah, as a culture. Like, we're really into, like, you know, this kind of, you know, gender, sexuality, fluidity, and this kind of openness to find out who you really are, to see that you deserve an orgasm. And you really get to explore a lot of that. You get to see some elements of, like, polyamory take place, and, you know, how scary it can be, and how this partner kind of, even though in the end it was a long play for his suicide, but seeing like the supportive step into polyamory, like a lot of this would be fun to chew on for this culture where we are sexually. But I can see how in 2006, this had people clutching their pearls.
Well, I think this was like the first time maybe ever, like, honestly, I saw this movie when I was like 18. So it was like the first time I'd seen a trans person on screen. I don't think I even really registered that. The first time, like, it really did open my eyes, and it was like so shocking back then. But like you said, if you're watching it now, it was kind of like, oh, some of this stuff we see now, like, yeah, I made a joke, but like, even in Euphoria, you see some of this stuff, and like seeing trans representation or gender fluidity and sexual fluidity. And so it was really ahead of its time in a lot of ways.
I think those are both all really good points, because it's a transgressive film, but I think in contemporary times, it's not as transgressive as it was in 2006. Yeah. And so I think when you have a film that's exceptionally transgressive and really pushing the boundaries in a lot of different ways, it can kind of, at least for me, like obfuscate some of the other problems with the movie. And so for me, the fact that some of this stuff has been a little bit more normalized had me honing in on some of the stuff that I really didn't like about it. But there were things, like one of the things, like I was kind of going up and down on the movies. There's in the movie, one thing that I really liked was the relationship between Jamie and James and that guy Seth. And when they go back to their place and they have this threesome, and it's a very, I liked how they were very vocal about communicating what they wanted sexually and how they imbued it with, like, with a sense of humor too. Like, it wasn't like an overly serious thing. Like, it was I don't know, they're very frank with each other, which I thought was kind of like, sometimes sex is like a overly serious thing.
Fart heads, we had a little bit of a issue just now. My power went out, so I'm in complete darkness. It's kind of like a sensory deprivation tank, and I'm still recording my end, and that's why there was a mild breakdown here. But we must get to the fartsy test to for this film.
The last thing actually, that I wanted to ask about, yes, before we get to the fartsy test, were, yes, any of you concerned about the fire hazards at this place?
There's a lot of candles.
As someone who has caught on fire at a party with too many candles,
oh my,
yes,
God,
I was.
Think.
Of, yeah, course.
I was very apprehensive about it. There are all these nooks and crannies, all these sorts of like little candles in these like confined spaces, and I just like, it spelled disaster for me.
Well, that's why you're not invited to the orgies, Patrick.
Yeah. They know that
not
I'm going to be, like the fire marshal of the orgy.
Yeah, where's so the safe? There's too many pillows blocking this exit.
Is there a fire extinguisher in every room of the orgy experience?
Justin Bond, the maitre d' of Short Bus, would not have liked that, I don't think.
Fire extinguishers in every orgy room?
No, just your attitude.
Oh, my concern for safety.
Yeah.
Before
we get into the fartsy test, Patrick, what did you hate about this movie? I haven't allowed you the platform to talk about why you didn't like it.
I just felt like pretentious bullshit to me. Like I appreciated the fact that the Short Bus Collective gave people this outlet to express themselves that they might not have otherwise had.
Yes.
But I found everyone very grating. I found everyone to be kind of irritating. And then I just found it to be kind of insufferable in some ways. Mm. It's like, and I fully will concede that this is just my disposition or my style.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. With me, it's like, it's one of those, you know, what I will coin as a Casey's dad situation, where everything you're saying makes sense, even if like my take is different, because the reason it works for me is
dad would be very happy with that. If, oh, yeah, that he's getting that coin. Yeah. But continue.
But like, I feel like that is like this group of people. And I say that as someone who, like, you know, is, I wouldn't say I'm like deep in the alt sexual space, but definitely, you know, dip my toes in from time to time, is there is this kind of like yuppie hipstery kind of insufferability to it, because there is like a level of like self-righteousness, even,
yeah,
like, and I think that was the point, especially when I heard the line that I don't think that like monogamy is only for straight people, like, you know, like that told me everything I needed to know about that character in the best way. I was like, this is like, so like, I get that, like, kind of like real, but with me, I was in it because I was like, oh, I can, it made them more real to me.
If that, yeah, do you remember, it felt like when, real, it did feel real to me, those people.
What's the therapist's name, Sophie, Patrick, or Sophia?
Her name is, yeah, Sophia.
Sophia. when Sophia, her first time at Short Bus, and then she stumbles into this room that's populated primarily by women, and this woman introduces herself. She's like, "I'm Bitch." And I was just, my eyes rolled
her
so far back.
Was
her name was Bitch. And did you see she was credited as Bitch too? In the end credits, her name was
Bitch.
Yeah,
that was Bitch, so this, obviously. It's playing Bitch. Herself.
And I'm just, I don't know.
It's not for me. It's like a Portlandia parody.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
yeah,
almost.
Like a Portlandia parody.
But the movie is so silly. It doesn't take itself very seriously.
I disagree. I think the movie takes itself very seriously.
There's the whole scene where has an egg vibrator in her vagina, and the guy's using the remote control to use her as like a fighter. That was fun.
Maybe I read that wrong, but to me that felt like... like a more dramatic thing, because it was showing
he was
kind of inadvertently apathetic. It wasn't part of playful sexuality with her. It was like, he's such a dumbass.
Well,
he lost the remote to her vibrator.
It was a joke. It was a joke, Patrick.
I don't know. It made me anxious. And
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I also hated Sophia's husband. I thought he was gross and weird.
Rob?
Yeah, Rob.
You just don't like
nerds. Like, he's supposed
to be,
looking
kids
for jobs, and he's masturbating. Come on, what is that?
Okay. Did this make you at all want to move to New York?
No, that's the other thing. Everyone, oh my god, you know what character I could not stand was the guy who was supposedly the former mayor of New York, where he waxes poetic about how great New York is for like 84 minutes. It's like, you know, in New York, you can only
everyone comes here
to be forgiven. And in New York, what are your sin? Like, oh my god, I wrote down all of his insufferable shit because it was driving me nuts.
Well,
hold on.
What was interesting about
I hated that guy.
What was interesting about that whole thing is
so one of my notes is so much cum. That's one of my sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, it's all good. The mayor that's based off of kind of come out and been like, yeah, people think I'm gay, but I'm not.
Ed Koch.
He's like, I really don't care because, you know, gay people are chill, but like everyone thinks I'm gay. And then it was like, yeah, we're gonna make a character basically being like, yeah, I'm gay.
I'm gay and I go to this orgy every night.
Also, I thought this was gross. Someone just came on my cat. And that was like, that's rude to be ejaculated on someone's pet.
No one should ever do that to Puar.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she be risking it. She be trying to come in on my self-care time. And I'm like, look, I'm going to sit you down and let you watch this movie, Short Bus, and see the dangers of coming into the splash.
Coming into the space without a tarp or a poncho on.
Yeah.
Okay,
anyways,
so we got to get to the fartsy
test. Thank you for letting me put all that
stuff. I know. We have to let you have your voice.
Thank you.
This is the fartsy test. This is the test we use to determine the fartsiness of a movie, which is our scale that gauges how impenetrable, unapproachable, and generally artsy-fartsy a movie is. We continually add and subtract from this list. It's a living document, much like the Constitution, but much more important. Okay, since it's Erotica Month, the first question on our fartsy test is, does this movie begin with a hardcore sex scene? And I'm going to say, pretty much, it does.
I mean, Rob is giving Sophia cunnilingus on a piano.
And James, don't call me Jamie, is jerking off into his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many takes, how long that took to get into that position.
Well, because they're, you know, if we go back to the Wikipedia.
Yes.
They're the Lee and Shanti Carson each suggested they be filmed having real orgasms rather than fake them, specifically for the final scene involving Lee and the orgy involving Carson. So a lot of people were coming.
Yeah.
Yes. And I felt that.
Alternate title, Everybody's that. Coming. I was alternate.
I mean, kind of is. That is sort of like, because this movie kind of puts like orgasm. I feel like they put way too much pressure on the orgasm in this movie. Like they're like, she's like, I can't have an orgasm.
I think yes and no, though.
I think that was the point, is that it's not important.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and it's so funny because it is like in the in the span of the, you know, whirlwind year I had before, well, it was a couple of years, but the year before I got with Molly was probably my sluttiest year. Mm. A lot of people I was dating was talking about like the obsession with the orgasm and how it's like, you know, sometimes I'm fine not having an orgasm.
Yeah.
Like it was the sex was good for me. And then, so that's once again, another way that it feels like this film is like right in time with,
yeah,
you know, the cultural zeitgeist. But yeah, it was this idea of this person chasing it, almost willing to risk their whole relationship, even though personally, I think her husband was trash. Yeah, like, I don't think he had any redeeming qualities.
He was awful.
Like, it was very, like, I need, like, so them kind of meeting and kind of being like, hey, I was like, no, I need a breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't
She
kind
of waved
like
across the orgy floor at him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of seems like they were both content with, like, you know, being, you know, open in that. So, but I was like, no, I need you to leave him.
Yeah.
He
sucks.
Bad. Like, there's nothing more, you know, like, I get it, and his feelings are valid, but I do think there is a level of whackness to try and put it onto your partner that you're like, I'm mad I can't make any money. It's like, what does that have to do with me?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It almost feels like
it's like, I'm not a man, I can't support you. And it's like making her feel bad. It's like, dude, keep it to yourself, or between you and your therapist. Well,
not even keep it to yourself, but really it's like, don't present it to her in a way that it's something she has to deal with.
Totally.
Like, you can air that out. But it definitely was felt like he was like, you make me feel inadequate because you have a job and I don't.
You make more money than me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Anyways, number two on the Fartsy test, were there any disorienting sound design choices? There's these kind of segues that uses Animal Collective music, which I will also say I became obsessed with the band Animal Collective after this movie, and I love that Oomba that song, you know, where they're like flying over New York, mm-hmm, the little
God.
Oh, shut up.
Also, Yola Tango.
Yola Tango was in there, I believe.
Which makes me one degree of separation from this movie because I was in a Yola Tango music video.
You were? Which song?
Yeah.
Sweater?
Friday, I'm in Love.
Oh yes. I've seen that music video.
Yeah, yeah. In the end, when it's the post-apocalyptic battery eaters, I'm one of the battery eaters.
Shut up. Oh, I'm going to have to watch that again. That's so funny.
Did you actually eat a battery?
Yeah, it was so tight. It was like a ding dong with fondant on it and painted to look like a battery.
That's cool.
So, but it was like that movie magic where it's like you were taking a real battery, getting, you know, as close to biting it and then swapping it out for the
that's cinema. That's cinema.
Yeah. Sounds good. Makes me hungry. Is there suicide? That's number three on the Fartsy test. Yes. There is an attempted suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
James. And he gets saved by his stalker, I guess. Have you ever had a stalker?
No, unfortunately not.
Patrick and I both have.
Still time. Yeah, Casey and I
Wait,
had.
Really?
Well, we had people that behaved poorly towards us.
I think we had, basically what it was closeted men who were in love with us and wouldn't leave us alone. Separate men.
Yeah, the closest I got was there was an old lady when I worked for the county who like would always hit on me. And one time she was like, I could tell by the way you walk that your dick is big.
She said
and
that
I was
to you?
Like, yeah.
At
and I
work?
Was like, that's tight. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
my God.
It was
God.
On break.
And okay, you were clocked out.
Yeah, well, we weren't in the same department, so it wasn't like it was like a constant thing. It just was like, if I was on break while she was on break, I was going to hear some spicy
stuff.
Did you
report her to HR?
No, because I was considering whether or not I was going to fuck her off. But I never did. And then she passed away, and I was like, damn.
How long after she made the comment did she pass away?
Probably like a couple months.
Wait, how
after
old
the,
was this person?
Well, she wasn't that old. She was probably like, you know, mid to late 60s, early 70s.
That's they're on AARP.
And you were keeping her on ice as a potential sexual partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
good
I could have been
you.
Getting those the free Denny's.
She could be, the moon's over Miami.
Yeah, y'all are at Caro's at like 4 p.m. every afternoon, Monday through Friday.
Oh, God. Anyways, yes, someone does try to attempt suicide. Does someone masturbate slash is there a penis in this movie? Yes and yes. And there's cum. Lots of cum in this movie, too. That should be on the test. Are there topics, images, or behaviors that go beyond what would be considered acceptable in a mainstream film? I would say yes. Yeah. 100%. This is not a movie you should show at a party with mixed company, I would say.
I mean, I feel like if it's like a party, you know? Like
That's true.
If it's one of those like, yeah, we're going to be drinking, it's like it would be fun because I feel like there's just moments in this film where you'd look at the TV and be like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And people would laugh
at it.
That's
true. This would be a good background movie.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I know it's kind of rough around the edges, but I think it's visually interesting at times.
Oh, yeah. No, I dug it.
I disagree.
Patrick?
No. I thought it was an ugly looking movie.
Patrick, you just like, you know, like Indiana Jones.
No,
and you wear your little fedora.
No.
And you want to watch Christopher Nolan movies.
No.
And you don't want the little guy.
No, I want something that's visually interesting. And this is not visually interesting. I want, give me Titan. Give me
Titan. Have you seen Titan, Iffy? Where the woman has sex with a car? Came out this year.
No. Best movie of 2021.
What is it? You said Titan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, everyone said I should check out Titan.
It's
but
incredible.
Now that I know that it's pertinent to my interests, which I'll explain in full off air. But like
sure.
Now, because now I'm surprised Titan hasn't been mentioned knowing this. But you'll know why.
Okay.
Soon. Okay. That's for Fart House After Dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll do that.
Fart after
yes. Can Peanut, which I call is what I call Patrick, can Peanut start watching this movie after 8 p.m. without falling asleep? Patrick?
I watched it this morning at 7:30 a.m.
And were you at risk of falling asleep?
No, I had a nice hot cup of Joe. I was rage texting my cousins at how awful I thought the movie was.
Oh, shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what Manuel gave this movie, our mutual friend Manuel?
1.5 stars.
He did not care for this film.
I feel very validated because he's one of our most cultured friends.
Yes. Is there an inordinate amount of milling about, so much so this movie could be retitled the 2013 comedy We're the Millers? Fucking about, certainly. Milling about, I didn't feel like that much. It gets to it. I don't know. Poster titillation level. Patrick?
Medium
this
low.
This doesn't have a very good poster.
It's, medium
yeah,
low.
It makes me not really want to watch the movie, to be honest. But yeah, I would say medium low. Oh, whoops, I tried to Google something and I don't have internet. Okay, so that's it. That's our fartsy test. And now, we give the movie a score out of 10, like a Pitchfork score. You can do decibels, but it's not how good you think the movie is. It's how artsy fartsy you think the movie is. So Patrick and I will go first and you'll get the idea.
Okay.
Patrick, what score are you giving this?
9.4.
That's insanely high. Is it just because there's non-simulated sex?
No.
And it's bad in your eyes?
I think because it's just, it's kind of nonsense.
Hmm.
It doesn't look particularly good. I don't think the performances are particularly great. I think
it's a little hit or miss, but I thought with the performances, I thought James was pretty good. The guy who cummed in his mouth.
Yeah.
That took quite a level of concentration.
Do you think he was cast for
technique?
That ability? Do you think that was not part of the casting call?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
That should be on the Wikipedia.
John Cameron Mitchell apparently was in the midst. He helped out in the orgy for Solidarity, I read as well. So
yes,
he was
Solidarity.
He practiced what he preached.
Would you be part of the orgy scene if this was your directorial effort?
I don't know. As a straight white man, I'd want people to feel comfortable, and I wouldn't want there to be any sort of predatory behavior, you know. And I'm
you
married.
Could just lay there and see if people approach you.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just lay there. Yeah, exactly. That's great idea. I'm gonna give this a 9.2 because of the non-simulated sex.
Didn't I give
but
it
the
a
movie makes sense, huh?
Didn't I give it a 9.3?
You gave it a 9.4.
Okay, and you called it outrageously high.
I didn't call it outrageously. I mean, it is outrageously high, but it makes sense.
Yeah, you did say.
I just, it, but it is, I'm saying these are, this is a high score. Yeah. I wasn't critical of it.
It sounded like a value judgment, but.
Okay. Well, yeah. Non-simulated sex, but it's not a confusing movie. You know, it's not like bizarre. You know what's going on all the time. You know, it's not like
more or less.
I don't know. It's an experimental film. You know, there's a narrative structure to it. Iffy, what do you give this movie?
Yeah, this is going to be a 10 for me.
Not
just because of the simulated sex, but just that it's pretty inaccessible. You know,
it is
really
very hard to find. Yes.
You really got to have a sex Sherpa to really get this to you. You really got to know what's up. And the only
way
you're
going to
see
it. Was I your sex Sherpa?
Yeah,
in this
you're
situation?
My sex Sherpa in my situation. So, and you're going to have to go to some like wild, freaky deaky screening to see this. So,
sure.
So, because of that, I give it a pretty, the highest score.
I think 10 is good. It makes sense. Patrick, don't you feel like this was a good one to end, though, our month?
Oh.
Because it's so wackadoo.
I think this was, I'm really glad that we did this movie, especially because. Good. We started out with Love, which I think set the bar really
have
high.
Have you seen Love by Gaspar Noé?
I have not.
Oh, that is a hot movie.
Extremely
sexy.
Hot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would recommend it. But that's like, but if you, to your point about these people not getting work after doing Short Bus, people in the movie Love had non-simulated sex in that movie, and they did get work after.
Oh.
So I do think things are different. And that movie came out 3 or 4 years ago.
I think there are elements of Short Bus that are really hot and sexy, but also I just couldn't escape the feeling that it looked like the building was about to burn down at any second.
Have you ever heard of this thing called Hump Fest? Dan Savage's Hump Fest?
No. What is this?
It's a porn film festival that he puts on every year, and it's all like amateur porn. And Trisha and I have watched it before. And
have you
there's
submitted
a lot of creativity.
To the,
have not submitted and roundly rejected all of our submissions. We've not submitted anything. But it made me feel exactly like this, where it's kind of like all these, like, it's a lot of white people, a lot of white hippie people that seem like they're from Portland who are in these kind of very fluid sexual friend groups and are just okay having sex with each other. But it's kind of interesting to see that in film form, because you don't get to see it very often.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think really the ukulele and the white people
really
with dreads really took it from a 3.5 to one.
And the woman who had dreads, her name was Bitch, and she was playing the ukulele. So it seems like sort of the convergence of all three of those things was difficult for you to...
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Did I have any other important, pertinent questions to ask any of you?
I have one for Iffy.
Yes, please.
Not related to the movie, though.
Okay.
Yes.
Iffy, how is it writing for a show on Zoom, a sitcom on Zoom?
Oh, man. So it is, you at this point in the pandemic, everyone's got it down pat. Everyone's kind of figured it out. So it wasn't too bad because the room had a pretty good flow to it. So it was like...
And how many writers are there on a call typically?
It was about 8 to 9 total of us on the call. And it really is just like, you know, kind of being cognizant of who's speaking and like taking turns pitching. And, you know, the room I'm in now, you know, we started on Zoom, but now thankfully we're in person and getting tested regularly. But like on the Zoom, we use like the hand raise feature, and that kind of helped a lot.
Which is very conducive to comedy, the Zoom hand raise feature.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, I feel like the, like, grand crew, we were all kind of like UCB kids who, for the most part, everyone knew each other. Because that's really the thing, right? Even in person, you're kind of like learning the cadence of someone's voice so you can kind of figure out when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that you can tell when someone's finished speaking unless you're in a writer's room, because so much time is taken to like take a breath and kind of continue the thought and think of where you're going with it and then continue. So you're just kind of waiting for that cadence that says like, and this is the idea.
Yeah.
And then you can like jump and plus one it.
Do you get apprehensive about pitching an idea? Like, what if people don't think this is funny? Or do you just have to go for it and not have that mindset?
Yeah, you just kind of got to go for it. Because for the most part, none of the rooms that I've been in has been, you know, mean when it doesn't work. You just know it doesn't work because you said something and no one laughed. And then someone proceeded to just say what they wanted to say. When you say a joke and there's silence and then someone starts a pitch, you know what happened. No one talks about it. Mm. It's loud and clear. You don't speak on it and you just keep it rolling.
Did you ever watch the Larry Sanders Show? It's one of Casey and I's favorite shows.
No, I haven't.
It's a great show. It's on HBO. It was on HBO in the 90s, and it's with Gary Shandling and Jeffrey Tambor. But it's a late night show. Like, it's a show about a late night show, and it's really good. It's really funny. It's very 90s, but there's a lot of like kind of behind the scenes, you know, working on a TV show stuff. That's really good.
Yeah, that's kind of what made me think of it. It was just sort of the dynamic between the writers and Larry Sanders Show. I was curious about how that translated to the dynamic in Grand Crew.
Well, we're at the end of our show.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. Iffy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody, do you have anything you want to plug besides Grand Crew?
No,
you can
yeah.
plug Grand Crew again.
Yeah, Grand Crew, Maximum Film, you know, my first kicks for all the sneakerheads.
Hell yeah.
If you want to see me play video games, if D's on Twitch. But for all those things, to stay up to date, just go ahead and go to Iffy Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram, and you'll be able to find it.
Awesome.
Iffy is a wonderful person to work with. I miss working with you every week, Iffy.
Well, thank you.
Just a blast. And guys, check out Grand Crew. I think Grand Crew is great because I love like kind of classic sitcoms. And this one I feel like there's no laugh track and the jokes, they come like a million miles a minute and it just is like warm and fuzzy. And I feel like I haven't had a good like sitcom to watch for so long. And it's great. Yeah. And it's really funny. And it's set in LA, which I really like. And I feel like there's some like outside shots that are like Highland Park specific. Am I wrong about that? Or is it more Los Feliz?
It's East Side in general. So you're right. But yeah, no, you definitely clocked it. The bar is based off of Gold Line and the pilot.
Yeah.
It was Line.
That was the name of the pilot? Was Gold Line?
Oh, no, no. It was actually shot at Gold Line.
Oh, the bar?
At the pilot. Yeah.
Oh, so, cool. I love
and
that
then
place.
When we went to series, we basically just built a bar that looks similar. I
can totally tell.
Gold Line was as big as the bar that we use on
yes.
the show.
Yeah, Gold Line because it's like tight
it
quarters.
It is a better Gold Line because it has the look and the vibe, but way more space.
You can actually maneuver within the bar.
Last time I was at Gold Line was with you, Iffy.
Oh, yeah.
And that
it's
was a couple
fun.
Months ago.
People still haven't really been going to the back much because I think most people chill outside in COVID, and I'm trying to take advantage. Because I was going to have my birthday party at Gold Line, but then you know, I'll be taking care of my child this weekend.
Sure, sure.
And next weekend I'm going to be at New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Hell yeah!
So it was just kind of like a thing where I was like, okay, I'll just do it. So what I'm doing for my birthday is March 26th is going to be Iffy's birthday minus 30. And that's when I'm going to have my birthday party because it also lands on a Saturday.
I see. Very good. Well, that's our show. Patrick, anything you want to plug?
No, I've got nothing going on.
UCSD?
Yeah. Hey, the application period's closed, but it'll be open enough. In about 9 months, if you want to apply to a PhD program in computer science.
Very cool.
Go ahead.
Well, that's our show. I have nothing to plug either, except if you want to become a patron of the farts, go to patreon.com/farthousepod. It's a great place to meet your future spouse, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We need more women on there, but there are some.
Yeah, the ratio isn't great, but it's It's good.
Yeah, it's good. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Farthouse Pod. Instagram, Farthouse Pod. If you want to follow Patrick on Twitter, he's at Patrick R. Mellon. If you want to follow him on Letterboxd, which I recently overcame his follower total. More people follow me now than Patrick on Letterboxd. Follow him at PR Mallon. I'm Casey Lee O'Brien across all services. And that's that. Iffy, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you, Iffy. Really wonderful. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Any time. It was a blast.
It was an honor to have Thought Dad himself on the last episode of February Farthouse Erotica. We'd have it no other way. But that's us. We are the Cinephile Cuties signing off.
Bye.
Farthouse. 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 Farthouse.